Yeah, it's really kind of vexing. I think the related issue, and it kind of reminds me a little bit about capecitabine in colon cancer, in that you have a drug that looks pretty similar, and the question is, how far do you have to test it in every situation? Are we going to have to do adjuvant trials? I mean, what are we going to have to do?
I am old enough and have been at this long enough to remember filling up balloons with 5-fluorouracil and putting them in Baxter pumps and infusing them in my ambulatory outpatients. So for breast cancer docs, it's been a very easy transition, I think, from infusional 5-FU to capecitabine.
But, it seems like more and more you see evidence that capecitabine and 5-FU or infusional 5-FU are similar preoperative therapy for rectal cancer, adjuvant therapy, and yet people are looking, the trials are being done, and, capecitabine is not being used, and kind of it looks like the same thing's happening with NAB. Do you think we're going to need phase three adjuvant trials?
I think the issue still probably revolves around what makes physicians' practices viable. And you may have the data on this, Neil, from some surveys that you've done about whether the differential use of capecitabine between academic centers and community-based centers may be different. In academic centers, since folks like I are salaried, I don't think twice about prescribing the drug that I think is right. And if that drug is capecitabine and it liberates the patient from frequent visits to the clinic for intravenous therapy, then that's what I'm going to prescribe. If it's a private practice where there may be a financial incentive for parenteral drug administration, then that may ultimately trump any data that you will generate.
I think there's also a sensitivity to how much the patient might have to pay out of pocket to actually get the prescription filled. But certainly in breast cancer, actually, we see a big difference between the use of capecitabine in academia and in practice, and it's used much more frequently by clinical investigators.
The one scenario that where I tend to see doctors not hesitate to give capecitabine in breast cancer is the unique scenario where patients have had preoperative chemotherapy, often with an anthracycline and a taxane. At the time of surgery, the patient has significant residual disease, perhaps at least 2 centimeters of invasive cancer in the breast, perhaps a significant number of nodes that are still involved despite anthracycline and taxane. And in particular, those patients whose disease is ER negative, where you just can't say, well, now I'm going to give you an antiestrogen. A lot of docs are in the habit of prescribing capecitabine, and we know that there's no data to address this. If the question were on a board exam and my oncology fellows were asked what the right answer was, it would be no further systemic therapy. But I know that many docs, cost considerations aside, feel the need to do something. And in fact, I think the time is ripe for a randomized trial, since a lot of docs are prescribing capecitabine in this significant residual disease after preoperative chemotherapy.
I think actually Hal Burstein is going to be doing this with his metronomic, what is it, cyclophosphamide, methotrexate,
yep,
plus Bev. I don't think it's randomized, but it is going to look at exactly that situation.
Yeah, certainly the notion that anti-angiogenic therapy can have a role in this minimal residual disease setting is very appropriate, and the work from Dana-Farber is clearly moving in that direction. There's no reason why capecitabine couldn't be considered in a similar kind of trial with or without the addition of an anti-angiogenic agent, whether it be Bev or sunitinib or something like that.